I am not a professionally trained pastor. I am a deacon. I served in the United States Navy for 4 years and 7 months, and I had my bride with me during most of that time. I worked in retail for many years. Then I went into sales for a number of beverage companies. I retired in 2010. After I retired, for 2 years, I drove a medical transport taxi. You may have known from Pat's Taxi. Quite an experience. And I attended to this church for 49 years, since 1975. 3 of those years removed because we moved to Connecticut, but our affiliation with this church stood. I am not a pastor, but I am a Christian. Bear with me, as I am also a sinner, saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. The world tells us that we are an accident of nature. We began as what they call pond scum. We oozed out onto the earth and became lizards and bugs and whatever. Eventually, we became gorillas. And then we morphed into human beings. The world tells us also that we lived and then we died. So we should strive to grab everything we can from this life. After all, isn't that the only way to find true happiness, true meaning, and true fulfillment? Well, I believe that's absurd. The Bible tells us that we are not accidents. We are created by a loving God who knows us before we were born. We are here for a purpose, and we can find ultimate joy and fulfillment by finding and developing that personal relationship with God. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16, tells us, "You created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All of my days were ordained for me and written in your book before one of those days came to be. God knew you before you were born. Even while you were in your mother's womb, he knows all about you. He knows about your family. He knows about your life until now." You see in the Psalms that God created each of us in a uniquely different way. He wove us together with the exact gifts and talents that we needed to fulfill a divine plan and purpose for our lives. And the greatest part of that plan is a personal relationship with God. We are created in his image, the Bible says, to know him and to walk with him. God wants to be in a personal relationship with each and every one of us, you and me. God is not some impersonal being or an unseen idol. God is a person. You got to think about that for a minute. He can listen, he can hear, he can talk. We open our hearts to him. He is your and my creator, who created us to be in that personal relationship with him. Why? Because he loves us. Sometimes we don't fully understand how we can have a relationship with a being that we cannot see or touch. Yet it is reality. And that, my friends, is why God sent Jesus Christ to earth. He sent him in human form, where he lived a sinless life so we could fully understand what God is like. God, in his perfect wisdom, lovingly wove us together with a plan in mind. That plan, to develop a better and a more in-depth personal relationship with him that would not only serve his purposes, but would cause us to actually find ultimate joy and fulfillment in this life. Fulfillment that the world will never find by giving us just more stuff. We need to fully understand that when we turn our lives over to God, we are putting our trust in the one who created us. He knows us. He knows all about us. Don't you think that's a pretty good place to put your trust? I certainly do. Isaiah 59:2 points out, our iniquities, that's sin, have separated us from God. Sin leads to spiritual death. God is perfect, so he cannot have a direct relationship with us because we are sinners. We live in a morally relaxed world that believes that each and every one of us can decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong, what is moral, and what is true. Today in cinemas and with the media, they tell us, they portray happy people leading sinful lives. You know, God has some standards, and they start by knowing and understanding the Ten Commandments. God is a holy and perfect person. People are human and sinful. Try being perfect for just one day. What do you find out? You find out that it's impossible. You can't do it. I can't do it. God can do it. Romans 3:23 tells us all, not just one of us, not just a couple of us, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then a few passages down in Romans 5:17 tells us, by the trespasses of one man, death and sin reigned for everyone. That one man was Adam. He succumbed to the pressures of Satan, and he did. He took a bite of that apple in the Garden of Eden and portrayed sin on all of us for the rest of our lives. It's called original sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, God is perfect, so he cannot have a direct relationship with us because we are sinners. John 14:6 tells us, Jesus tells us that, get this, this is the solution. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember how God cannot have anything to do with us because of sin? Well, he decided to deal with that issue. In the Old Testament, people would sacrifice animals, perfect and pure animals. They did that to show that they were sorry for their sins. But that was only temporary. God's plan all along was to send Jesus, his son, a perfect human being, to be the ultimate sacrifice to pay for all of our sins. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world," and he did, he loved the world and he loved us, "that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, that we who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What an incredible gift. What did we do to deserve that? We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But God gave it to us through grace because he loves us. First Peter 3:18 says, "Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the righteous, for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in body, but made alive in the spirit." He died to pay the penalty that we deserve for ourselves. He took our punishment, so we didn't have to. Now, because of Jesus, we are able to build that personal relationship with God. And remember also that Jesus Christ did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, which is a promise to you and me that we will one day also rise from death and go to heaven to be with him. So now what? Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then John 1:12 tells us, "To all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That opens the door for that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Receiving Christ means acknowledging our belief in Jesus, inviting him to come into our lives, and repenting for our sins. The moment you ask, Jesus enters your life, and your personal relationship with God has begun. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Amen. Are you? Let us pray. Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you that Jesus Christ died in my place and cleansed my heart from all sin. I ask Jesus to forgive my sins and to come into my life. Please continue to direct my life. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life with you in heaven. Continue to direct my path in service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.